the Lord again tonight for salvation.
Amen.
I truly enjoy salvation, and I hope you are too.
Yes.
I'd like for us to, I don't know how many verses, maybe the first and last verse of number 15. We don't have to sing it all, but thank God for the church triumphant. Is triumphant tonight. The body of Christ, the saved and the redeemed in heaven and in earth. Thank the Lord for church tonight. I'd like for us to be stirred up in our minds and in our hearts and our souls concerning God's church and concerning mine and your heritage and mine and your right, if you will, to be part through the blood of Christ, our right to be part of the church of the living God. And that it be something more than just lips and names only, but it be from our heart that a realization that we are called out people, that we are a separate people, and if you're not saved tonight, that you are being called to be a part of the church of the living God, which is the body of Christ Himself within this earth. And that we recognize the great privilege, the great happinesses that God has for you and me to be part of what He has instituted in this earth, and that we that understand this, that we guard it with a vehemence, that we guard it with our prayers, our testimonies, our life, our conduct, that we present to the world a true image of the body of Jesus Christ. I have a real burden in my heart for the last long time now, and I don't know that I'll ever be able to dispel it altogether. I don't know that I want to. But God, help us tonight that we recognize that this which Christ has established for you and me, and the God of heaven has established this kingdom, that it is under attack.
Amen.
That mine and your identity as God's people is under attack.
Yes.
And Satan would like to just kind of pour us all into one pot with the world and with society and sectism and with all the ites of the land and have us just come out an amalgamation of people who have a testimony, but we've lost our identity of holiness that we've heard about, that we've lost our identity of peace and of joy and of mercy, of separation, of modesty, of chastity, and that we have lost what God Himself put in our hearts when He saved our souls. We are under attack. The unity that God has described and prayed for, Christ Himself prayed for, that they might be one, that very unity that you and I know the Bible teaches about, that is trying to be polluted and watered down and trying to be taken away from us. Satan would like nothing better than to come in and just sow discord.
Right.
God forbid that we mark that thing, that person, that philosophy or whatever it is that would come in and sow discord among the brethren. It can be anything. It can be many things. I want us tonight to be a little more challenged to love the church.
Amen.
He speaks over in 133rd Psalms. I want to just read that a moment. Psalms, 133rd Psalms, really the whole chapter, just a very short one. But listen to what he said, and I was inspired recently by this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We might say as one, if you will, in Christ. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Mm-hmm. Listen to where He commanded a blessing. He commanded it within the confines of the unity of His people, within the oneness of His people, within the confines of the church of the living God. God forbid that I, you, or any of us feel like we have a right or a purpose in life or a mission in life to separate ourselves from where God has commanded life forevermore. That we need for our physical healing is found very much so within the confines of the prayers of the saints going up as one. Yes. We need this body. We need the body of Jesus Christ to be complete. Lord, help us to guard the church of God. Help us to be watchmen, not just the preachers, but watchmen on the wall, to be aware that we want healings, we want blessings, we want God to infill and bless our services and bless our hearts. Then we must recognize He commanded a blessing on those who would walk in unity and oneness of heart, mind, and purpose and follow God. This is a serious thing, the church. It is not something we should trifle with. It is not something we should put our hands upon and say, I've got the direction, I've got the way, I've got the changes, but this is something we must get on our faces to and for and pray to the God of heaven. Lord, help me to work, help me to be a part of, and help me to guard and walk across the walls and walk around the walls of Zion, and that I do all that I can to be a part of and not try to be out of. I have a concern that the church of God is under attack. And not just in unity, but in everything that we stand for. Yes. Satan would love for you and me to be climbers up other ways. Yes. You know, sometimes we think about Satan as being that old thief, and he is. Yes. He climbs up the other way. Uh-huh. But I think about people. You know, we can be climbers too. Yes. And we can try to climb up an easier way or some other way. Lord, help us to recognize this is the way the pilgrims have gone, the pilgrims of the cross. This is the way of Abraham and of Isaac and of the saints of old. This is the way of our forefathers. This is the way the Lord has prescribed to us. He said to you and me in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 3rd verse, and through the 6th, He said for you and me to do something, endeavoring. Folks, I don't know all the words. I didn't look it up. I don't have my dictionary with me, but... And when I think about the word endeavoring, I see putting forth an effort.
Yes.
I see trying. I see exerting myself and putting myself, listen to this, putting myself under subjection.
Sure.
I do not find people who endeavor to listen to what he said. Maybe I should read it all. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I find in order to do that, I have to be willing to put myself under subjection. Amen. To the leadership of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and put myself in subjection to the body of Christ.
Amen.
I tell you what would happen. No, I don't tell you what happened. You can know what would happen. If my arm decided it didn't want to be a cooperating arm, part of this body, and it would just do what it wanted to do. Now, wouldn't that be something, me trying to stand up here and talk to you and beat on things and throw things at you? And folks, being part of the body of Christ requires cooperation. He said for you and me to be endeavoring, to put forth an effort. You know, there are people who have certain neurological things happen to them through no fault of their own that they cannot always control a member of their body. And it's an awkward situation, and people work at that, and I'm not throwing off on that because it's something people can't help, and it can happen to any of us through an accident or something. But God help us that we put forth an effort to endeavor.
Yes.
To keep this that God has committed to us.
Sure.
The oneness of God's people. That the power of God could flow through us.
Amen.
That the power of God would not be hindered by disunity.
Yes.
By discord.
Right.
By someone saying, I'm it, follow me. God forbid that we follow Christ.
Amen. Right.
That we set our eyes on Him. Looking to Him who is the author and the finisher of the faith.
Amen.
Oh Lord, help us. It means a lot to be what Christ wants you and me to be. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I can try to keep peace. I can try to keep unity. But I can be pouty, as we heard about, I think, last night. I can say, well, okay, I don't agree with you, but just for the sake of peace. And I can go kind of pouting off. And when time comes, I can say, Well, I really disagreed with that.
Right.
You know, yes, there's no literal warfare.
Yes.
But there's a coldness. You know, we just got through what they call the Cold War.
Yes.
Wasn't any bullets flying so much or nukes going across, but there were some real funny looks. And there was a lot of suspicion. And there's a lot of mistrust. Folks, that's war too. Oh, that's war too. God help us to make forth an effort within our soul. And it's not going to be through my effort or yours. It's going to be in cooperation with Jesus Christ. It's going to be in submission to the Word of God. It's going to be in cooperation and submission to the Spirit of God. You know what God's Spirit will do? We know this. He'll lead us in all truth. And you know what? Sometimes truth, maybe we've heard that already, is letting me know where I'm wrong.
And
letting me know where I'm wrong. If I decide I'm going to drink, I don't mean this to be funny, but it's just what came to my mind. If I decide to drink some water and I try to drink out of this side over here, well, the truth is, Stanley, you need to drink out of this side. You know, I need correction. I need someone to come along to me and say, Brother Stanley, that's the wrong side. Don't try to drink this way. The truth is, you need to watch what you're doing and be more careful and realize you need to drink out of this side of the glass. Truth also corrects us when we're wrong. And walking in truth is allowing myself to be corrected. It's saying, Lord, thy way is best. I will not murmur. And if I find myself off on a tangent over here, and I'm this arm or this leg or I'm this part of the body flopping around over here, creating havoc, creating trouble, causing others to look upon me and wonder what's going on. Folks, I need to be willing to humble myself and say, something must be wrong. God, help us to have a vision. Help us to see God's body as a cooperative, working together, laboring together, striving together, putting forth an effort together, loving together, dying together, if you will, being martyred together, trotting this pathway together on the highway of holiness with no unclean thing. And if I find myself off out here thinking I'm some special Messiah, for lack of a better word, or some special anointed reformer or something, and I find this causing upheavals, and I find it causing disruption, and I find it causing me to not really have that blessed, sweet, holy fellowship, don't you think it's time I kind of got to thinking, maybe Stanley, you're wrong? Maybe something's just not quite meshing here. You know, if this old arm just kept doing this, I'd have to say, you know, that's hurting. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Be subject one to another.
Yeah.
That's part of unity, folks.
Yeah.
That's part of unity.
Yeah.
Well, he said to put forth an effort.
Yeah.
And then he said there is one body.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for the one body.
The Lord.
I got to thinking a little bit. I wondered what would happen if I had to come up with a church. Folks, I tell you, that'd be a strange outfit. I tell you, that'd be, I don't know what would happen. I just better not speculate. It would just be a strange organization. But I'm glad God, in His mercy, the God of heaven, has established a kingdom that He'll not leave to any man. The Bible said in Daniel there, second chapter, He'll not leave it to anyone else or anyone. But it will endure and reign forever. You know, if I established a kingdom, it would be a very, like I said, a very strange thing. It would be full of things that I thought was right and could be very much full of error. So I'm glad tonight that the God of heaven has created a body. He's created His church. And I want to encourage us tonight to be careful. Be very careful.
Yeah.
We've got a responsibility. Something very beautiful has been committed to us. And we need to cherish it, folks. I don't know of anything this side of heaven greater than marriage and a family. We need to be real careful, don't we? And we see how we handle our marriages and our families. And we see the results of what's happened in America and in the world because people have mishandled their families. We've seen homes wrecked. We've seen society degenerate. We've seen filth and drugs and crime. And we've seen all manner of things on the increase. And psychologists and sociologists, they will agree with this, that you can trace it back to a breakdown somewhere. Where was it? A breakdown of the values of what God has ordained to be within the confines of a home. We need to cherish that. Folks, let's take that over and bring it right into the church of God. We need to cherish what God has established in the family of God and hold each other and love one another and comfort one another and support one another and cherish the bond of the unity of the Spirit of God. Thank God for the church triumphant. When the Lord, or rather when, let's read that 49th chapter of Genesis. When, was it Jacob, I believe we'll see, 49 and 9 of, when Jacob was blessing his 12 sons, and he got to Judah, and we'll just start here at the 9th verse. Now, just a little history, I think most of us know this, but Jesus Christ was of the lineage of Judah.
Yes.
He came through the tribe of Judah, okay? Judah is a lion's whelp. He was given a blessing to his children here, Jacob was, is a lion's whelp. Whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh, and we could put here Christ or the Messiah or the Anointed One come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Listen to what he said. When Shiloh comes, when Christ, the Anointed, when the Messiah comes, to him shall be a gathering of the people. I want to ask you a little bit. Do you see that kind of narrowing things down pretty quick? That if we're all gathering to Jesus, how that is a narrowing of the way. It's not a separating of the way, but it's a narrowing of the way. Little simple illustration. You may have seen this before, but this is Jesus. I don't know how we'll draw it, but that's Christ, okay? And here we are. That's better. Here we are. That's us. Multitudes. The people. Okay, however many, it doesn't matter. But it's the people. And here's what we're doing. Okay? To him shall the gathering of people be.
Yeah.
To Shiloh, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The Christo, Christ. Okay. Down here, we're like this, okay? What happens as we grow closer to him? What happens to our relationship one to another?
Closer.
Closer, 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 folks. Closer. To him shall be the gathering of the people. This becomes a narrow way. This becomes a way of striving to enter. This becomes a way that we have to put forth an effort for. And as we get closer to him, we must take on the attributes and the love and the mercy and the vision of Jesus Christ, or else we'll start rubbing, we'll start irritating, we'll start arguing, we'll start complaining. I noticed out there, I love children, so children, don't take this wrong, because guess what? I was once that age too.
Yeah.
Long time ago maybe, but I was once your age too. And I raised a couple. But I noticed the children out here playing today, I believe it was, this morning, after children's meeting, before morning service, and they were just playing children's games, and they were enjoying themselves. They were laughing, playing, sling one another out and all this, and they were just having a real good time. But you know what? Having been a child and been there and done that and watched that and observed that, I thought, and Brother Randy and I were talking about the children and how when we get to heaven, he was asking me, reckon we'd be able to play like that. And I said, well, who knows, Randy? We just may do that, you know. Well, he was interested in the fact that the children were happy, and I was too, and it was a beautiful picture of heaven in a way. But I got to thinking, on this side of eternity, without Jesus Christ, you children, now I love you. I was there and I've been there and done that. But if those children stayed out there in that little group long enough,
right,
you know what would happen?
Right.
They'd start arguing.
Yeah.
They'd start saying, that's mine.
Yeah.
Or you didn't do it right.
Yeah.
And folks, we're not that far from children ourselves.
Yeah.
Without the mercy and the love and the mercies of Christ, as we started, you know, without Christ, and if I started running to him, and Brother Jerry started, another brother, another sister started going to Christ and drawing to him, without him within us, if we started searching out for Christ in our own way, in our own values, our own doctrine, our own theology, if you will, I want to tell you something. Me and Brother Jerry would lock horns real quick.
Yeah.
Because we just would be going, maybe we'd both have the same testimony.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Going to Jesus.
Yeah.
But we'd be thieves and we'd be robbers trying to go up some other way.
Yeah.
And after a while, we'd start pushing and shoving.
Yeah.
It takes the graces and the indwelling power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them, said, you tarry in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Don't you try to go out and carry this word. Don't you try to go out and demonstrate Jesus. Don't you try to go out and tell the people what we're doing. Don't you try to go out and be a martyr for me. You wait a while till you be endued with power from on high. Oh, saints, we must have that working within us. It's a meek spirit.
Sure.
It's a quiet spirit.
Yes.
It's a spirit of cooperation.
Yes.
It's a spirit of humility.
Yes.
It's a spirit of submission one to another.
Yes.
It's a submission of a recognition that I don't have the answers in me.
Amen.
Oh, watch that thing. We heard a little about this afternoon. When you start thinking you can stand, that you got all the answers or you got a part of the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful.
Yes.
Be very careful. Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Lord, help us to cherish the church of God. Because I know what happens. You get enough people together, after a while, we start acting like people. You know, people come together in all kind of testimonies and love, and they really put forth an effort to make it work for a while. But without the grace of God, after a while, I got getting tired, you know. And then Brother Jerry and Brother Fuller were talking some about how stress and being run down starts working on you. You know how one way it works on you? It makes you irritable.
Yes.
And then you start saying things you're sorry for later.
Yes.
We must have this within us. And that's what Christ wants us to have. But the thought is, as we draw closer to Him, we become more of a unit.
Yes.
And He said how beautiful it is, how pleasant it is. Are you having a pleasant time in the church of God tonight?
Amen.
If you're not, you missed something.
Because
He said it was pleasant.
Sure.
It's pleasant.
It is.
Brethren and sisters, the family of God to dwell together in unity is pleasant. Folks, if you're not having a pleasant experience in the church, you're a little off. You just missed a little something. Not saying you're unsaved, but your vision may be a little clouded. A little self might have slipped in here. A little something that's unlike the Lord might be kind of motivating you. Because He did say it was pleasant.
Sure.
And I have to confess, He's the truth, and
right.
Every man's a liar.
Yes.
By God, help us. But anyway, to Him shall be a gathering of the people. I'm glad of that. I'm glad y'all not gathering to me. My, I get tired. I make bad decisions. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I just want to get away and not fool with people for a little while. I can't heal on one of you. I can't. I really can't. And if a tempter come around, I can say, brother, sister, don't sin. But I don't have a lick of grace to give you. I can't give you any grace.
That's right.
If someone comes along and tempts you to get into adultery, Brother Stanley can say, don't do it and don't do it. But I couldn't stop you. I couldn't infill you with a spirit to give you grace to not do it. You'd just do it if you wanted to. Oh, but this one we serve. Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All power and authority on heaven and earth has been granted to Him. And He can give us grace to resist the tempter's snare. He can deliver us from the claws and the tentacles of unrighteousness and make us holy and pure and operate within the confines of the body in a way of purity and holiness and unity whereby the God of heaven will be glorified and no man will receive the glory. Watch out when people want to say, look what I did. Well, that's not my thought. Let's look over in Matthew, the 16th chapter. In the 17th through the 18th verse, scriptures you know. They'd asked Christ. Christ had asked them some questions, the disciples. And then they said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said this, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. I want to say to you tonight, we don't go to a textbook and find out about the church of God. Now, don't get me wrong, Brother Stanley, this can be taken wrong, so don't take it wrong. Okay, I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Nothing wrong with reading. It's not anything wrong with reading the birth of the Reformation. I read it myself. But that's not where we find the church of God. That's not where we find the identity of the church of God. I am convinced that any argument I want to make, I can research enough and come up with validation for it. Now, think about it. You can't entirely say the way the old folks did it is how I see the church of God. Don't, please don't misunderstand me. Read the old books, read the old literature, and yes, get blessed from it. But that's not where we find the church of God.
Amen.
First of all, he said, we must be born again.
Yes.
To try to find the church of God in a carnal, with a carnal life or sin in your life, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, because Christ said, you must be born again.
Yes.
Secondly, he will read this maybe in a minute. He said the things that the God of heaven has provided for us, they are spiritually discerned.
Yes.
Romans 1 or 2 Corinthians.
Yes.
Talks about they are spiritually discerned.
Yes.
So don't think that I can theorize the church of God.
No.
It's too broad for that, folks. It's too great for that. It's made up of too many people, too many races,
yes,
too many social structures.
Yes.
Don't you think for a minute that I can just... This is the church of God, intellectual. It can't be done. I don't believe it can be done. He said, flesh and blood, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't get this idea across to you.
No.
But my Father's, which is in heaven, a closeness.
Yes.
A closeness with God.
Yes.
In love with Him. A mind of the Lord indwelling within us. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ whereby He can speak with us and demonstrate to us and show us the beauty of His church and cause you and me want to. He said in one place about there will be a mountain among all the hills. And somewhere in there He said, and they shall flow into it.
Yes.
Didn't say they'd be drugged.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that they would come up with a prescription for it. It was like they would just flow.
Yeah.
May we see that just for a moment tonight. That those who love the Lord are flowing.
Yeah.
A melting, if you will.
Yeah.
Yet we keep our identity. This is a mystery in a way.
Yeah.
We keep our identity. We keep certain. We keep a lot about ourselves.
Amen.
But yet there's something about us that flow together.
Sure.
It's like, they've got some synthetic oils now. They just flow so sweetly and so smoothly. God help us. A flowing together.
Yes.
And the people will just flow into this.
Yes.
It's not by theology, but it's by an effort on our part and God's part and God showing us and demonstrating to us the church of the living God. I'm thankful tonight that we can flow together into the body of Christ and be... Oh, God, thank you for letting me be a part of the body. I may be a toenail. I may not even be a toe. I just might be the toenail. But thank God that I and you can be a part of the church of God, the body of Christ. Well, it's not physically, mentally discerned, but it is by an experience with Christ through being born again. It is by an experience of living and reading and studying and applying ourselves to righteousness, getting rid of carnality, getting rid of strife that we've heard about, getting rid of envy and jealousy and lust, and getting rid of the other master that we heard about last night, and serving God and God alone. And after, maybe we don't automatically see the church of God the moment we become saved. But I am convinced of this as we study of Him and learn of Him. He said, learn of me. That we will start identifying with Him and we'll start identifying that in other people. And there won't be a desire to be contentious on our own way. It'll just, it's beautiful. He said, beautiful for situations. Praise God. And then He said that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I'm glad of that. I don't know what all the gates of hell mean to you. It's sin, of course. But I know this, that in a little bit of reading I've read about in the geography or the topography or whatever you want to call it at that time, a lot of times in these cities, they had town council meetings there. Until they got, well, I don't know what to call it, town council meetings. The mayor got together with the folks out there. They had business meetings out there. Decisions were made at the gates. They may have had a shed over them, I don't know what. That's where they met sometimes, at the gates of the city. Decisions were made. Judgments were handed down. What's good for the city will go there. Well, I don't know all that can bring in, but I think about the psychology, the philosophy of this world, the mindset of this world, the decisions the world makes, the ideas of the gates of hell, if you will, the declarations that they come out with, the rights that they prescribe that mankind have the right for this and the right to do this, the things that society comes out with and says, this is okay, this is all right. Everybody has a choice to do this and they can't be stopped. the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of God. We live in a polluted society, and I don't say that, well, the world has always been the world, but it seems like we just know a little bit more of what's going on in the world, perhaps. And the communications processes and all that, we just understand a lot more of what's available to us that we would not have known, say, 100 years ago. But he said to you and me, this philosophy, this religious philosophy, this psychology, the doctrines of demons, he seemed to say to me that that will not prevail against the church. The disunity of the world, the disunity of Satan, the things that would separate and pull apart and kill and destroy will not, praise God, listen to this, will not prevail against God's church. God's church will not compromise, folks. God's church will not go off into apostasy. He will have a body. Lord, help us to be part of that body when he comes busting through them clouds as never before, as Sister Jordan used to say. Oh, Lord, help us to be part of that holy body of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell won't prevail. We can say the church is compromised. No, it hasn't. We can say the church of God has gone off in radicalism. No, it hasn't. We can say the church of God is not what it used to be. Yes, it is. We can say the church of God is all this and all that, but no, the church of God, folks, is still the body of my Jesus Christ. Still the body of Christ. And we can say what we want to about it. It may be me. It's not part of it. But the body of Christ is still holy, still chaste, it's still pure, it's still undefiled, it's still the only one of its mother. It is still the church of God in its pristine glory and beauty. Oh, let's flow into it tonight. Let's get rid of the radicalism of our minds. Let's get rid of the disunity that I want to start. Let's get rid of my ideas and take on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on in his beauty and his glory and make no provisions for the flesh. Oh, God forbid that we clothe ourselves in any kind of flesh.
Yeah.
Oh, we talk about the flesh being the world, and yes, it is. I don't disagree with that. We talk about going out to the movies and the televisions and drinking and carousing around. Yes, that's of the world. That's the spirit of the world. Oh, but it comes closer. It comes closer. Man rule, lifting up myself, pride and vanity, all contending for my own way, strife and envy and jealousy, having to have it my way or not at all. Those little pouting times we have over here, pouting times over there, them long-distance phone calls. Can I tell you how bad somebody is in the church? That's all the spirit of the world, folks. I've said this already, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep on saying it. We need to watch our telephone calls. We need to watch them, folks. They sow discord. They break down what God wants to put in our hearts. I'm not telling you to go sell your telephone. I'm saying watch what you speak over the telephone. Did you hear about Sister so-and-so? She's done so-and-so. Listen, I was talking to Brother Jerry this afternoon. I don't mean this ugly. It's just a fact. And I'm not going to tell what I told him except to say some of the tales that he and I was discussing that people have said about me. Can you believe that? They had some good in it. Let me get this straight. I don't want to say something to cast off on the church, because these kind of things don't come from God's people. Okay. I don't want to catalog this on your head. You know, I've done some pretty strange things according to some of the things I've heard. By the way, they weren't true, but they were strange. I'm glad I didn't do it. God help us. I'm going to be real personal. Held a meeting a while back at a certain location, and there was people who didn't come to that meeting because of what they heard.
Right.
Me.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to vindicate myself. God forbid. Eternity will do that. I'm just using that as a point. How them old telephone calls.
That's right.
That's part of the spirit of the world, folks.
Sure.
And, I mean, it could be letter writing. It could be word of mouth. I just said telephone.
Yeah.
Folks, help us. Lord, help us.
Yes.
And we recognize this is a serious thing we're dealing with.
It is.
You'd be offended if I came into your family and did something like that. You'd be offended if your children went out and said things on you. And your children would be hurt and damaged for life if you went out and told every time they did something a little naughty. They would get to where they wouldn't like you too well. And your family would start to break down even though you had the appearance of unity. Folks, we need to be careful how we handle the church of God. It's been committed to our hands. And what am I doing with it? How am I handling it? How am I touching it? Am I grabbing it, shaking it? Am I being violent with it? And am I treating it in a way that's misusing it? Or is it the precious jewels of the Lord? He said, "These shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels." Folks, when I handle you, I've got the jewels of the Lord in my hand.
Sure.
When I admonish you or teach you by the grace of God, when I preach to you, I'm preaching to the jewels of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm not preaching to rank strangers.
No.
I'm not preaching to people who are destined to hell. I am preaching primarily to people that I'm on my way to Jesus in heaven with.
Yes.
I have the jewels of the Lord in my hand.
Sure.
And if I treat you shabbishly, if I treat the saints, and not just in preaching, but in my everyday conversation, in my everyday relationships with you, if I lift myself up and look down, if I cast your name out, if I have an evil eye toward you, or you toward me, or you toward your brother, we're taking the very jewels of the Lord, for whom Christ died. Somebody might get that scripture, but it says something about for whom Christ died. Talking about it, the weaker ones, the ones that maybe weren't fully developed and mature as Christians, how we have to be careful with them and watch them and not offend their conscience because Christ died for them.
Yes.
Folks, when we treat one another less than with respect and honesty and integrity, we're violating who Christ died for.
Yes.
That's a pretty serious indictment when you think about it. Christ died for every one of us.
Yeah.
And when we become part of the body, I've got a solemn responsibility, and you do too, to walk in love, to walk in unity, to walk in oneness with God's people. Thank God for the church triumphant. I hope you tonight see the church triumphant. I hope you don't see it as a bunch of people all going their own ways, arguing and complaining and fighting. No, no. You may have known of that happening, but folks, it wasn't the church of God. God forbid that you label it the church of God. He's not the author of confusion. We've already heard that. If it's confusion, it's all the evil one. It's the one who came to destroy and to kill. It's self. It's man rule. It's someone getting himself up in the place of God.
Amen.
We talk about the Pope being that man. Well, maybe he is in the Scriptures, but I tell you what, we got to watch anything or anyone, myself included, that puts ourselves up in the place of God.
Yes.
That is not Christ.
Yes. Amen.
And you're not obligated to hear that.
Yes.
Just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And be courteous.
Yeah.
But you're not obligated to submit to anything that's not of the Lord.
Amen.
Let us not therefore judge one another anymore.
Amen.
But judge just rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
In a brother's way, Brother Keith.
I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean.
Respect one another.
Unclean.
Yeah.
Honor one another.
But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably.
Yes.
Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died.
A solemn responsibility, is it not? In other words, I'm not going to get off on that too much, but we have to respect someone's conscience. We have to respect their sensitivity to who God, their relationship with the Lord. But the point is, how dare I reproach that for whom Christ died? I believe that's a way to hell. I really do. I believe if I treat the body shamefully, that's a way to hell. I believe if I don't honor what Christ died for, the church of the living God, that's an open door to a lake of fire. God help us tonight. He said this was not going to be a way that flesh would inherit it or understand it. But he said, my Father will reveal this to you and I will build my church and it'll be a church triumphant tonight. Oh, God, help us to love your way and love your church. You know, we've just been so blessed by the Lord to save us and bring us into. I remember the first time, right after I was saved, my wife and I got saved relatively close together, a few weeks apart. And I had been saved just a short time, and I got a telephone call. Well, I know then. I came in from work, and my wife had got a telephone call, and she said, Brother so-and-so and his wife are going through town, and they stopped by. I mean, they called and wanted to spend the night with us. Well, the President of the United States could not have done anything and made me more happier. I tell you, that was the first child of God that ever invited himself to my house. And I tell her and my family, of course. I tell you, that I just, That just made me so happy. That someone from out of state coming through would want to stay at Brother Stanley's house.
Amen.
Oh, listen, my heart's door flung open, and I just got so happy, and I think he can clean the yard up a little bit now. Praise God that we have a love and a flowing out and a reaching out to one another. And protected, saints, that's part of my burden, that it's under attack. It's under attack. God forbid that we allow it. He said for you and me, maybe we can read that also, a little short verse, Luke, the 13th chapter. Oh, God, help me. I love thy kingdom, Lord, and I do. If I never see you again, I love every one of you. Praise God for you. You're beautiful. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You're His jewel. And I want to treat you right, folks. I do. I really want to honor you. I want to honor you. I want to be a part of you. And I want to go to heaven with you. But I want to share your joys. And I want to share your griefs. I think about the phone calls that I got from California, my wife and I got, when my wife is sick. Thank God for that.
Yes.
See, that endeared you even more so to me. Yes. If you was already my brothers and sisters and I loved you, but, you know, it's a fluid. Yes. The nurse, you forgive me for being a little personal. The nurse that came out from hospice once a week to bring us the supplies, I was talking to her one day, just in general terms and specific terms also, and she said, I've never seen... And they work with people all the time. Brother Jerry knows kind of what all they work with. She said, I've never seen anybody have this much support. There was people at my house all the time.
Amen.
They was in their knees praying. They was cooking. Mm-hmm. They was washing. They was ironing. They was holding me up because I was about to fall. Not spiritually, but physically and emotionally. She said, I've never seen... In all of her tenure as an RN working in hospice cares with terminally ill people with a support like that.
Yeah.
That endears, that causes me to recognize, folks, I'm part of something special.
That's right.
Unique. The only one of its mother. The only one. Don't you go look for another church that says Church of God and that God has, or Jesus has two. No. Is Christ divided?
No.
God forbid. God forbid. He's not divided. Well, enough of the personal part. Luke, the 13th chapter, in the 24th verse. He said, strive to enter in straight gates. There's different kind of gates, I suppose. There's wide gates, there's narrow gates. There's ways that man has come up with. But remember what he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. I'm thinking now about what the Lord has established. Make an effort to go in there. Strive. That's the opposite of, it's still strife, but it's a strife that varies from what Brother Keith talked about. It's a holy strife. Mm-hmm. It's a strife whereby I am fighting, pressing against evil, and against worldlyism, against disunity, and against corruption, and against sin, and against self that would love to, listen to me, self that would love to go to Broadway. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot easier, folks, to go through a big gate, you know, than it is a little kid.
Yeah.
I can take a lot of things with me. I can just take what I want to with me.
Yeah,
I can pick up this, pick up hatred, pick up envy, take up division, take up jealousy, take up pride, take up lust, take up fornication, take up adultery, take up whatever. And I can just put it on my shoulders, put it in my heart, and go right on in. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
I can take drugs. I can take homosexuality.
Yeah.
I can take any kind of thing I want and just go right on. So it's easier, see, for my flesh to go through the Broadway.
Amen.
But that's not the way to glory.
Amen.
And that's not an entrance into His church.
Amen.
And that's not a part of His body.
Amen.
He said, broad is the gate that leads to destruction.
Sure.
But He said, narrow is the way that goes into eternal life. And He said, strive to enter into it.
Lord, help.
To me, that means also that me and you are going to have to work at cooperation.
Amen.
We're going to have to let the oil of the Lord lubricate us as we draw to Christ.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to let the friction be put away through the very blessedness of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to subject ourselves one to another. We're going to have to be willing to defend one another and hold one another up. And respect comes to my mind. Respect one another. Give respect. I had a little message back home to the children and to the young people about respect. God help us as the adults or as the members of Christ, regardless of our age, to respect one another, to honor one another, and to cherish one another. He said to strive, to put forth an effort. It's a lot easier not to cooperate than it is to cooperate many times. It's a lot easier to take sectism's view of salvation than it is sometimes to take Christ's view. So a lot more, but it's a lot easier to say, well, I can sin more or less and still go to heaven. It's easier to say, easier to do. But it takes an effort. It takes striving. It takes putting forth an effort. But God's church is alone triumphant. It is unique. It is the only one. And it is holy, holy, holy. Holiness unto the Lord was on the reins of the bridles of the was on their bridles, the reins of the bits. It was holiness unto the Lord. Not in just your life, but in our life. And in the church of God. It is a modest people. Oh, we're being attacked on modesty. Then the adorning of one's flesh is pride. The adorning of oneself many times can be a evidence of insecurity. And retreat and run. He went forth not in his confidence, but he went in the confidence of the Holy Ghost. Folks, we ought to be confident in who God made us, how he made us. He made us different colors. He gave us different kind of hairstyles. Some of us are losing our hair. Some of us are a little tall. Some of us are a little fat. He made us different ways with wrinkles and no wrinkles. God help us to love ourselves as God made us and not to have to put on something that God didn't put on us. Yes, clean up. Yes, comb your hair. But don't adorn the flesh, because that can show also a lack of self-confidence in what God has received. You know, we don't have to beautify ourselves in the flesh when God has beautified our spirit. He's beautified us with salvation. So you think about it many times. This adorning of the flesh can be a lack of self-confidence. I want to encourage you, everyone, to be confident in who God made you and how he made you. You know, just praise the Lord. We can comb our hair and brush our teeth, and men maybe can shave if you want to. And just go out and meet the world. Sisters, you're beautiful. Brethren, this is just a little side note here. You forgive me this little tangent. But brothers, don't put a lot of pressures on your wife. You know, the world puts pressures on women. That's where the big cosmetic industry comes in. That's where the perfume industry and et cetera comes in. Brethren, tell your wife she's beautiful.
That's right.
Let her know you love her. And that she's not under any pressure at all from you to make herself up to look like that model in Cosmopolitan. The reason I say Cosmopolitan is because I see it at the checkout stand all the time. But this is a serious thing. For me to, if I had my wife here, and I didn't do this, if I put pressure on her, or you put pressure on your wife to say, oh, look how beautiful this woman is. What if you could do this? That's wrong, folks. That's wrong. We need to let our wife know she's the most beautiful person in the world. Brother, take this. Because I'm convinced our sisters have a pressure put on them that you and I don't have put on us. Respect that. Honor them. And I don't know how I got off on that. But God, help us to support and love one another. Strive. Put forth an effort to enter in at the straight gate. Enter in at the gate of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that door, folks. He is that door. And, you know, one of the things about people is we can deceive ourselves. Satan can do it, but we can just deceive ourselves. The Bible speaks about believing a lie and being damned, I believe. This is a phenomenon that is very dangerous. But we can actually believe we're saved when we're not.
That's right.
Evidently that's so, because he said there will be those at that day that said, Lord, be shocked, in other words, surprised. Somewhat dismayed that they're being left out. That's something to laugh about. That's a terrible thing. To think that I've cast out devils and I've done this in your name, and he'll say, I never knew you. As if to say, I can be deluded.
That's right.
I can be hoodwinked. To think that I'm a part of the body of Christ when really I'm not. That causes a real trembling to come over me. To recognize that if I don't live close.
That's right.
If I can't read the Sermon on the Mount, and say amen to it. You want to be challenged? Don't worry about going out and climbing a mountain somewhere, Mount Everest. Just go read the Sermon on the Mount. You live to that. Don't worry about swimming the English Channel. You just read the Sermon on the Mount and say amen to it and live it. That's all you'll need to do. You've got the challenge of your life right there. If I can't read the Sermon on the Mount, say amen to it. If I can't look in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and identify with it and say that's in my heart by the grace of God. And on we can name things. Folks, it's a real serious thing to lift myself up as a part of God's body when I have missed it somewhere. When I have built on the wrong foundation. Talking to Brother Keith this afternoon, years ago in West Virginia, he preached a message and it impacted me greatly and it still comes to my mind. And I'll not be able to get it exactly, but the point was, and I'll just draw us a little illustration here. You're going along on your way to heaven, okay? That's the narrow way. And somewhere right in here, there you go. You done tangented out there.
Sure.
And after a while, you left the Lord right here. You left the Lord right here. You know what? There's something about us. This is kind of my words, but this is some things I got out of that message. This has been at least 15 years ago. Something about us that we say, I do that. But his point was, and the point I want to make to us tonight, that's not how it works for us. We can be deluded and think that all I got to do is just go ahead and catch back up. Cut across shorty, the old song in the world used to sing. Y'all forgive me for that, but years ago I heard a song about that. Cut across. That ain't the way it works for us. He told us, and I believe it tonight, you go back here where you left the Lord. You make that right. You straighten that up. You take care of that. And then you go on with God and His people in the church. We can be hoodwinked into thinking, well, I left the church over here. All I've got to do is just come back over here. No, if we left God's people, we've got to go back where we left them. We left the truth, we've got to go back. If we break down and submit to the arm of flesh, don't make like that just didn't happen. You know what you need to do? God help me here. That you come before the people, whomever is necessary, and say, saints, I'm sorry. My faith wasn't what it should have been. But don't make like it just didn't happen. Oh, well, it's okay. No problem. But we need to recognize, wherever we left him, we need to go back and pick him up. God help us to strive. To strive to enter in at the straight gate. Well, I got to stop somewhere. It's no stop. Read with me in a minute. I don't like preachers to get up here and do this, so you help me. In Isaiah, the 35th chapter, he talks about a way of holiness, a highway of holiness. God help us to recognize this highway of holiness and cherish it. Listen to what he said. I'll read the third verse. 35th chapter and the third verse. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. And I believe that's vengeance against sin to you and me. And the enemy of our soul and division and the enemy of self and the enemy of the world. He'll come with a vengeance. He said, did he not say over there, godly sorrow, what clearing of yourself, what vengeance it marks in you? Oh, there's something within us when we're saved. We want to identify the enemy. God wants to identify the enemy. We want to tell others about what happened to us. Oh, don't get caught in that snare or whatever over there. I got caught in it. Oh, don't you get caught in it. Our God will come with a vengeance against sin. He will come on the day of judgment, but praise God, He comes now with a vengeance against it, and He cleans us up, and He delivers us from it, and He slays the enemy of our soul. Oh, he said he had come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Praise God. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be stopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart or as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness, praise God, the wilderness, shall waters break out and streams in the desert. This is what God has for you and me in His church, within His body. Don't try to live this outside of Christ. Don't try to see this as something that's not of the body of Christ. This is in the church of God. This is the beautiful for situations. This is the joy of the whole earth. This is our towers and our bulwarks, our strong high towers that God allows us to inhabit and enjoy. Are the dwelling places of the righteous, and don't be satisfied thinking I can live out here and I can live out there and still have all the flowing in. The stream comes from heaven above, and it comes down to His church. It does not come down to movements and sectism and the world. It does not come back to sinners. It comes out to those who have been redeemed of the Lord.
Amen.
Listen to what He said. And the parched ground shall become a pool. Oh, isn't that nice? And the thirsty land, springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass and reeds and rushes. And then there's going to be a highway, folks. Had a little thought in Oregon one time, and you bear with me a minute if you heard this, how the word highway come about. This is how a highway come about in my mind. That back years ago, before there was quote-unquote highways, that people had to go across parched ground and old marsh ground and hard ground, and they got to thinking. You know, if we'd build that ground up or level that ground out a little bit and haul us in some gravel out there and clear it off a little bit and plane it down a little bit and compact it, we could walk across on a smooth surface instead of this old parched ground with thorns in it and rocks in it and go through these old marsh places where the moccasins are and the mosquitoes are. You know, if we'd just level this off and haul us in some rock and dirt and level that thing off and put a little turtle back on it so it'd drain, well, you know, we could go across on some smooth ground. And that's how I got an idea of how the word highway come up, because they had to build it up to get to do that thing. They couldn't just build it down here. They had to build it up. So anyway, that's how I come up with the word highway. Envision it coming from. In the parched grounds of society, in the sinful, parched, polluted grounds of sin, the God of heaven in His mercy came down and He built a highway, a pure highway. And it's up above. It's that mountain, if you will. It's up above all the hills and the parched grounds and the sorrows and the disappointments that just drive people down. It's against the disunity that's in sectism, and it's against all the carnal doctrines that's in sectism and all the sins of this world. It's up above that. And listen to what He said. And a highway shall be there. And a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. We've heard quite a bit about holiness. Sin can never enter there. Heaven is a holy place. May we understand that tonight. And love God for it, and not want to change it one iota. First of all, we can't. But in our minds, we can compromise the truth to us. And we can live a lie and we can be damned. But there is a way of holiness and of unity and of love and of peace and of cooperation and of respect. There is a way whereby we can speak the same thing. And we can see the same thing. There is a spirit that underlies every administration. And that spirit is the same spirit. It is the spirit of a holy and just God, and it will not conflict the administration of someone else who's been called of God in whatever capacity. The administration of the Spirit of God will cooperate with the administration of the Spirit of God. I may wear brown suits and you may wear black suits. You may live in California and someone else lives in Oklahoma, but there is one spirit and it will cooperate. It will share. It will minister to one another. It will embrace itself. It will identify with itself. He said there's one body, one faith, who is, and one God who is above. This is back in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. One God who is above you all and in you all and through you all. But take you back in a little bit in the Old Testament.
Praise the Lord.
When they built the tabernacle in the wilderness and they put up the walls thereof. Out of shittim wood, I believe. And they overlaid it with gold. And I believe, been a while since I read this, there was four or five gold rings like this. Something like that. And here's the boards here. This is very crude. There's the walls overlaid with gold, the panels, if you will. And they put golden or staves through these, running that way, to kind of hold them together. But there was something very unique about one of them. Right in here somewhere, they mortised in them. And they placed a golden rod. And I believe the Bible says it will shoot through. That's the English translation somewhere. Will shoot through. And unseen. Evidently it was not seen to the naked eye. It could not be seen. But also, not only was the staves out here, or the bars out here, I believe they were overlaid with gold. I'm not sure if they really were. But in here was a golden bar that shot through the boards of the tabernacle and locked it all together.
Praise the Lord.
And I thought, well, if that's not the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of the Lord. He's in you and through you all. It's significant that it was golden.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
To me it is.
Yes.
And it went through the... Through it. It was mortised in there and you couldn't see it.
Right.
We can't just say, Brother here's got the Spirit, Brother here's got the Spirit, but we start watching them.
Yeah.
When we start ministering with them, when we start talking with them and praying with them and watching their lives, we recognize there's an authority within those people that's not in the world.
Amen.
That it's the Holy Ghost that's in us all and God through us all.
Amen.
Cherish that, folks.
Yes.
What would happen if somebody come up, I don't have this in depth, but what would happen if that golden rod was like this and somebody took the hacksaw and did like this? God forbid that you and me be a hacksaw in the church of God. Lord, help us tonight. A way of holiness and no unclean thing shall pass over. Saints, we can't say the uncleanness of the world has got equal status with us. Because he said, first of all, I look at it this way. I can't take the uncleanness with me and get up there. I'll slide off, be pushed off, or God will not allow it. You remember at the gates there of Eden, when Adam and Eve were cast out, he put seraphims there, I believe, angels there, with flaming swords?
Yeah.
I'm sure Adam and Eve, and I'm just having to visualize this in my mind, but evidently that garden wasn't just immediately destroyed. And evidently they probably looked.
Yeah.
And you know, he put the angels there to block them, so evidently it must have stayed around a little while before God destroyed it. Don't you think they had a yearning?
Sure.
Don't you think? I know I would.
Yeah.
Don't you think they repented? I know I would have.
Yeah.
But you know they didn't find a way back in. Now, I'm not telling you if you backslide, you can't get back on the way of holiness.
Yeah.
I'm saying if God doesn't allow it, you can say all you want to,
sure,
and you won't get back on. Or you won't get on.
Sure.
You can't take the XX baggage of this world.
Yeah.
You can't take immodesty. You can't take uncleanness. You can't take pride and you can't take vanity and knowingly take it with you.
Amen.
You know, God cleans us as we're saved. He purifies us and perfects us. I know that. But we can't knowingly take the things of this world into the kingdom of God. You pray for us. God, help us to recognize the beauty of salvation. Oh, that and Daniel and I wanted to talk on that, but I'm not going to do it. But, oh, Lord, help us to recognize the beauty of holiness. That he's not going to leave this kingdom to others. That the God of heaven has established a kingdom and he'll not leave it to others. And he wants you and me to be a part of it. He died. He died to be a part of it. And I've got a responsibility to it. That I love thy kingdom, Lord. I will love your people because that is the kingdom. I will defend. I will stand by. I will not sow discord. I will not try to be an arm out here flopping around somewhere and causing all kind of agitation. But Lord, by your grace, let me be a servant. Let me love your people and walk with them. Oh, let me have fellowship with them. Let me hold them and embrace them and love them. Let me cry with them and rejoice with them. Oh, God, let me go to heaven with your people. God, whatever it takes, I lay down old Stanley's way. It ain't worth anything. Anyway, folks, I don't what I think. My ways are nowhere near God's ways. How dare I be so presumptuous? Oh, God forbid that I take God's way.
Yes.
And that I love you more today than I did yesterday.
Amen.
And that I'd honor you by living saved. That I honor you by living saved.
Amen.
That I don't let sin creep into my life, ruin my testimony, and be a stigma on you.
Amen.
That I be a reproach to you.
Yes.
But that I honor you and I love you. Oh, we can trace sectism, and I wanted to do that tonight. You can trace sectism right on down from that old red dragon.
Sure.
And you remember what that old red dragon, that's just dimly the 12th chapter of Revelation. You remember when that woman brought forth and all, you remember what was just right there waiting? Was that old red dragon, paganism. And you know what the old red dragon wanted to do? What was it? Devour her, the child. Well, it didn't work altogether. After a while, they said, we're losing our grip. So they came up with another system, a beast, was it not?
Yes.
And this beast got the power from the dragon, but it was clothed under the name popery, or sectism, or poker, rather. And it had all the authority of the dragon, and it went out and it made great war with the saints, and it killed many of the saints.
Yeah.
Remember, though, it went back to the time of the red dragon. Paganism, they wanted to kill, 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 kill. That's what Satan wants to do. That's what, what Satan wants to do is kill. Don't think we can compromise with sectism. Don't think we can compromise with this world. It is meant to kill and destroy. God help us to love thy church. This is the safe haven. This is the haven of rest. This is the place of our solemnities. This is the place where we're defended and guarded. This is where the walls of God are around us. We are the vineyard of the Lord. We are the planting of the Lord. And He's hedged us about with His salvation, His Word, and His Spirit. God forbid that we get a chisel in our heart and go out and try to tear down the walls of salvation. But that we love the walls. Young people, the rules are the doctrines of the church are not to confine you. They are to protect you. They are not to cause you to be unhappy. They are to make you the most happiest people in the world. They are to give you a good family, a good home. They are to give you a chaste body and a clean life. They are to keep your minds pure and unpolluted from drugs. They are meant to save your soul and protect you. They are not confines to make you miserable. God forbid. And that old devil gave his power to the popery, I suppose we'd call it, the beast. After a while, that wasn't working too good. Oh, they was worshiping this thing and all. We could read that. Then he gave it over to the image. And then they said something. I believe the image may have said this. Who is like it? Who's like the beast? Oh, God help us. That old image came right on down, and it's out there today, folks. And it's trying, but the point I want to make here, it was to kill. To kill the converts. To kill, kill the saints. Made war against the saints of the Most High. It went forth with the sole intent of sectism. Now, let me draw a line here. The theology, the principle behind sectism. I am not talking about people. The principle and the doctrines and the ideas of sectism come from the red dragon, and they are meant to kill and destroy the souls of the saved men and women. I am not speaking about people. I'm speaking about the principles and the doctrines of sectism did not come from the Holy Whip. They come from the pits of hell. If anybody differs with me, we can talk about it later. And I'm not talking about people. I am not. I'm talking about the doctrines that they have prescribed to and established as their way. So please understand that. God forbid. Young people, my heart reaches out to you. Don't even think about sectism. Don't even think about it. Young couples, don't even think about it. Don't even give it a moment's thought. Because it comes from a place, the doctrines of it, that is meant to devour you.
Sure.
You can say what you want. There's good people there. Sure they are. Yeah. And I love them and I like them and I got 10 folks there and I love them and I hug them.
Yes.
But I can't imbibe the doctrine.
No.
I can't fellowship that spirit.
Right.
There is one spirit.
Sure.
And it's the spirit of the living God.
Yeah.
You pray for me and excuse me for taking so much time.